Oscar, are you going to carry on my legacy when I die?
Oh, no.
Why not?
You don't have much of a legacy.
Well, thanks, but today we're going to play My Father's Work by Renegade Games, where you do have to follow your father's legacy. Welcome to Board with Family Games. I'm your host, Justin.
And I'm your host, Oscar.
And every month we come to you with one of the games we love to play as a family so that you can play it with your friends and family. For more information on the games we play, visit our website,
boardwithfamilygames.com. That's B-O-A-R-D with familygames.com.
And there you can learn more about the previous games we've reviewed on our podcast, get links to purchase those games, and also contact us so that you can ask us questions if you have anything that you would like to us to talk about in our future episodes. All right, Oscar, so explain My Father's Work to me.
Okay, in My Father's Work, you're trying to carry on the legacy and complete the masterwork that your father before you was working on.
All right, so in the end, it's a Victorian mad scientist game, right?
Yes.
So think Frankenstein, vampires, all that great stuff from Eastern Europe. In fact, it literally is required to take place in Eastern Europe. And it's that great time of old school horror, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the premise of the game. It's something we've really enjoyed playing. What's one of the things that makes this game a little bit different than some of the other games we've played?
Well, it takes place over multiple generations.
Okay, so there's a lot of rounds, but what else is there?
I don't know what you're gesturing.
Is there perhaps an app?
There's an app.
Okay. So this is an app-driven game, which is a little different than, and frankly, different than any game we've reviewed so far. And if I'm being fully honest, something that I was a little nervous about when we picked up this game. But what it does, how does the app work as part of the game?
Well, throughout the game, you're going to have these different events. And what the app does is it, you know, does the events for you. And it'll also tell you how to set up, like, the new generation and things like that.
Okay. So it adds a randomness. It adds the ability for things to be more random in the game. It is not a huge part of the game. In fact, we've had to set our devices to a longer setting for timing out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even though there's an app, this is very much a tabletop game. You are playing it. The app really does work to enhance, not detract from the game. So take a minute to listen to a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with a review of My Father's Work by Renegade Games.
We would love for you to sponsor us. So if you're interested in board games, please sponsor us, and we'll be trying to probably sell some board games for anyone who's interested in them. And just contact us at our website, Board with Family Games. That's B-O-A-R-D with familygames.com. And just contact us and
sponsorships would include an ad spot right here on our podcast every week. We'd love to have you join us. All right, Oscar, talk through the purpose and goal of My Father's Work.
Well, you're trying to complete the masterwork that your father before you laid out for you.
Okay, so you've got this thing you need to create, but it is not easy, right?
No. So it can be anywhere from immortality to teleportation to like a love potion.
All right, so there's a bunch of these masterworks, and those are your end goals in the game. I will tell you, since we've mentioned, there are how many generations and rounds?
Three generations and three rounds per generation.
Okay, so you have these three generations, And each generation is early, mid, and late. So what are you doing during these generations and rounds as you're trying to go through?
Actually, the generations are 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, sorry. 1, 2, 3 generation and early, mid, and late
rounds
in the generation. So what are you trying to do in these different
generations
and rounds?
You're trying to complete experiments because they give you victory points. And each experiment you complete may help you get closer to your final goal of completing your masterwork.
Okay, so you go through a generation, you create all these great experiments, but then what actually happens at the end of the generation?
Then you lose almost all of them. You lose almost all your hard work over the generation. You start over.
Okay, it's one of the really cool things about this game is as you end a generation, you get to save some stuff. And you can do this through a number of means, but you are able to save some things. But by and large, you're starting fresh when you get to your next generation.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. All right. So you're performing all these experiments. You've got a couple sitting in front of us. Explain or give us an example of some of the experiments that you might try to complete over the course of the game.
Well, there's the A, B, and C experiments. The A's are the little pathetic experiments that just give you knowledge and like a victory point. The B's are kind of a little grander, but aren't that huge experiments. And then the C's are like creating monsters and giant machines.
All right, so you pulled 3 out. Tell us what your A experiment you have sitting in front of you is.
Okay, so my A experiment is an engineering type experiment. It is good earth procurement. Like I said, pathetic. So it requires a chemical and a gear.
Okay, so these are resources that you are going to get through the period of the or throughout the game. We're going to talk through that a little bit later, how you go about getting these. But in this case, you need these 2 resources to create the experiment.
So then you spend that chemical, you spend that gear, you get 2 engineering knowledge cubes and 1 chemistry knowledge cube, 3 victory points, and, you know, a funny little flavor text.
Okay, so you get some fun little flavor text. Give us an example on this one. We don't want to spoil anything, so we're not going to say many, but we'll give you 1.
Strained earth through a colander to separate the good dirt from the bad dirt. Results inconclusive.
Yeah, so again, A experiments, they're kind of sad, but they get you knowledge. They help you learn. And so this is one of the things that you're gaining is you're finishing these experiments and you're getting knowledge. And knowledge are in these little cube forms. And what are the different types of knowledge cubes that you can get?
There's a chemistry knowledge, which is blue, the biology knowledge, which is green, the engineering knowledge, which is yellow, and the occult knowledge, which is gray.
Okay. And what you get to do with these is you can actually, this is one of the things you can save away. You can either use this knowledge to create an experiment or a future experiment like those B and C or level experiments that take a little bit more. Or you can save them and you can store that knowledge up for future use, which is really helpful.
And you can use it infinitely.
Infinitely. So it's this is something you're going to be doing, especially in your early generations, deciding how you want to store knowledge because you have to plan so that someday you can create your masterwork. Now, tell us about how many types of experiments in the end do you need to create to do a masterwork?
Minimum 6.
Oh, that's a lot of experiments.
Nah. But in reality, it's minimum double.
Okay. So you
just need the knowledge.
Yeah. So there's a lot of experiments you need to do. You need to, in the end, and we have not yet completed a masterwork except in our 3rd generation, but you need to have completed an A, 2 Bs, and 3 C's. And as you may imagine, to create a B experiment, how many A's do you need to complete?
1 A. And for a C, you need an A and 2 B's.
Yeah. So you have to build these experiments up throughout the course of the game to be able to create that masterwork. So this is a game really about building things up, creating and planning ahead so that you can create these masterworks. It may sound like a lot right now, but so far we have been pretty successful in completing our masterworks. I think almost all of us have completed it in every game.
Yeah, we've only not completed masterwork once, and that was a masterwork that took 4 occult knowledge, which is very difficult to obtain. Yeah. So
by and large, it feels like a lot, but it is absolutely achievable. So you're doing these. Tell us about the points, because you mentioned that, but that is a key aspect to this game.
The points move you around a point track, and you just move little spaces. And as you progress, you will keep getting more and more points. Once you hit 50 points, you get a little token out that's your color. Put it down. It says plus 50. You go around again. If you make it all the way around again, you flip it over. It says plus 100, and you just try to go around again. You can't go around again after that.
So in the end, you're going to be doing these things. The experiments are one of the main ways you get points. Mm-hmm. But then you also get them through forwarding the story, right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the story that's being created through the app and through the course of the game.
Well, each generation has these little special events. So, like, first generation, you've got, like, an event that probably will give you victory points. So far, I found that it's normally 5 victory points.
I'm going to jump in here real quick and say Oscar's being very vague, because one of the things we definitely don't want to do is give you spoilers. So, yes, you'll get some victory points. Keep going.
Yeah. So, you'll get some victory points. You'll get some other benefit, that some other thing, maybe like a choice or something. And then you might get something else later on. Yeah. Something good, something bad. You don't know.
So this is one of the things, again, you've got this app driving the game. You've got a story. When you start a scenario, it always starts out the same way. But then the choices you make throughout the game are going to shift that, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we found is that we're always, of course, trying to play for points. What else are we doing?
If we're not doing very well, no, we're not going to win. We're just trying to drive the story every which way.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to figure out what's new, what's out there, and learn a little bit new about this world from my father's work, because everybody's both playing the game but also driving a story at the same time. Okay, so talk through the look and feel of the parts and pieces of this game.
Okay, so the little pieces are actually really cool. And you can get chemicals, you can get gears, you can get bodies, you can get animals. And they're all these little different pieces. The bottles are these little glass bottles with a cork stopper. You can fill with whatever you want, if you want to. And then you've got these little glass bottles. The gears, these little metal gears. If you get 2 gears of the same type, they'll actually fit together and work as gears. The animals are these little wood tokens with animals on them. And there's like cool different animals.
Are there 2 identical animals in
there?
No. Yeah.
You can get owls, you can get wolves, crows, bears, goats.
It's fairly fantastic how they have created all these different components. It feels amazing to have all these different things. We'll find ourselves pulling out our favorite animals when it's time to pick an animal resource, because they're just so cool and you want to grab all these different little tokens. They're great.
Yeah, and then the bodies are these little caskets, and they're varying designs. You might get a beat-up one that's just nailed shut. You might get one that looks like it hasn't been in the ground lot with a little cross. You might get one that's itself basically a cross.
So as you get, you know, as we've talked, this is, you know, Victorian mad scientist. There's dead bodies. Absolutely. We're pulling those out because we got to do weird stuff with them, right?
Yeah. It gets us occult knowledge, which is wild, so yeah.
All right. So what about the art style of the cards and the rest of it?
Well, it's pretty realistic, and The art's serious, but the cards have jokes on them.
Yeah, it's a good mix between, you know, this bit dark, serious tone of the game, but then, you know, you've got all this goofy language. It livens it up. It's fun. It feels really fun to play and to pick out at these little details, isn't it?
Yeah.
Diversity-wise, the game does a really good job. Again, it is Eastern European Victorian time, which would traditionally be very white. However, the player tokens are little figures, and they are a good mix of male and female. They, you know, are gray, so they can be whatever color you imagine.
They're air painted.
Yeah. So. Otherwise, in the text or in the rule book, which is really where you might see any actual people, they are a mix of races. So the game does a really good job of allowing you to put yourself into the game. Talk a little bit, Oscar, about the different people and how you can select who you are as part of the game.
Well, all the little tokens.
And how many are there?
There's five. Yeah, five. There's five tokens. You each get five tokens. It's up to four players, so you have 20 tokens in a game.
And by tokens, they're more than that. They're actually little figures,
yeah,
right?
Figurines. Okay. Yeah. And the bases are all the same, and you get these little spaces that you clip onto them that say whether it's yourself, your spouse, your caretaker, mm-hmm. your servant, and you can decide what gender any of those are.
Okay, so it is up to you who's what. I have fun just playing around with it. If it is are important to you which gender it is, if you are a woman and want to have a female spouse, you can do that. If you are a man and want to have a male spouse, you can do that. If you want to have a male, or if you're a male and want to have a female spouse, you can do that. It's up to you. Anything goes. It all, you can mix and match to fit your or who you are and represent yourself in the game, right?
Yeah.
They do a fantastic job with that. I really appreciate that. I would frankly like to see more games
like
do
this.
Yeah. Like this is kind of the peak. Again, you know, one of the things that Oscar and I have done is we've been very careful that at a certain point we realized we didn't want to support and purchase games that didn't have diversity and that weren't representative for all people. And this was one that I was actually nervous about. We had bought it because it just seemed so cool and we really wanted it. We had kickstarted it about a year ago, and then it came, and oh my God, the diversity, the way you can do it, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, again, can't say enough positive things about that.
At the end of the book, they're like, this is Victorian era. So there are some things that at this time would have been considered okay, but aren't considered okay now. Yeah. We tried to minimize that. And what we did, we tried to paint with humor.
Yeah. So thanks for bringing that up, Oscar. I forgot about that. Yes, there is a reference to that in the back of the rule book because it can't be perfect, but they tried. And that is fantastic. Okay, Oscar, talk about setup. How long does this game take to set up?
It takes a pretty – it's not a short setup, but it's also not super long.
Yeah.
It has a lot of these different bits and pieces, but – they're all pretty self-contained. So you just put them where they're supposed to go, shuffle the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oscar's counting how many decks there are.
8 decks.
But they're small decks. It's not a long process. Yeah. It's a shuffle.
They're not giant decks, but there's a lot of decks.
One of the things I'll say, and I'm going to talk about this later when we talk about storage, but the fact is, it stores really well, which means that it comes out of the box very easily. Some of the things, like all those great resources we were talking about, all those great components, we leave in the tray. We just pull the whole tray out, open it up, set it out, and it just sits there nicely for us as we're playing. All right. So we've talked a lot about the game, the components, what you're trying to do, why don't you talk through a turn and a round in a generation? Explain to us how these different things work. What do you actually do on a turn?
Okay, on your turn, you have an option to take one of two actions, either an estate action or a town action.
Okay, so how do you actually go about doing that?
You take a piece from your quarters, and you put it up somewhere in your estate or somewhere in town.
Okay, so if you have been following any of our previous episodes, or if you understand game terminology, this is at its heart a what?
Worker placement.
It is a worker placement game. You are taking a worker, you are placing it somewhere to do something.
Yes.
Okay. So what are the sorts of things you can do as or with your workers?
Well, you can go to town. When you go to town, you can collect resources. You might be able to collect knowledge. You can collect like gears, animals, chemicals. You can build buildings on your estate. You can, if the angry mob is acting up on you, send them back. Make them a little more calm.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the angry mob. What on earth is the angry mob?
So the angry mob will slowly advance towards you, and it might overtake you, and then you're not allowed to go
to
town.
But what are you doing to become or get or to advance on the that track? What's the track called?
The creepy slash angry mob track.
Okay, the creepy track. So you're doing weird stuff at your manor, right?
Yeah, they're going to become kind of scared of you.
So there is literally a flaming pitchfork item, icon.
And it just advances towards your Frankenstein item.
As you do things, you get creepier and the angry mob gets less tolerant. And when that overtakes, what happens?
You can't go to town except for the church.
Okay.
So if you go too far past, you're done.
All right. And so this can happen in a lot of ways. You know, again, this is not something to worry too much about, but it's something that exists as a fun part of the game where, yes, you're going to be creepy. We typically find that third generation, we become super duper creepy.
Especially when the angry mobs have space four and we're getting too creepy an experiment.
Yeah, suddenly you got an angry mob coming at you. Okay, so anyway, let's go back. It's a worker placement game. You're putting stuff down. You're taking your worker, you're putting it in a space, and generally what you're doing is getting those resources. And then talk through real quick, what's that estate? And how are you building your estate?
Okay, so your estate has kind of a building track. And
this is a literal board that sits in front of you,
yes.
Right? Okay.
So you've got this track of buildings. And you have to spend money to build buildings. I mean, that's just always true. Yeah. Real life, in games. And some spaces are clear plots of land. It's free to... You have no additional costs to build buildings. Other spaces are overridden with boulders. And you have to clear those out. And I mean, we don't have bulldozers. So it takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we have to spend another money.
And as you can imagine, money is yet another resource in the game. These tiles that you get to build out, there's a little shop, you can pick it from them and they can really help you throughout the course of the game. Obviously, as you might imagine, improving your estate improves your opportunities to do your evil experiments. And gives you victory points. So there you go.
Not many, but it gives you
okay.
Some.
So that's the town, the things you can do in town. What else can you do in your estate?
Well, you can experiment. So, I mean, yeah, you can experiment. You spend the resources you got from town on your experiments. Then you get the experiment. Then you get victory points. And that's your turn.
Okay. And then what else can you do?
You draw cards, get a money, record the knowledge you get from your experiment.
And that's a key one. I would say the thing of the three estate actions, the two we do the most are experiments and recording knowledge. So what's recording knowledge?
Recording knowledge, you spend knowledge cubes equal to the space you're going to. And it gives you, and then you get that knowledge forever and ever. Well, until the end of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, something else. Maybe you'll, if it's a cult, you'll get creepier. If it's chemistry, you might get an extra servant or might store more resources or even just get a free bee experiment.
Okay, so you get these great things from having done recording your knowledge,
right? Yeah, you can even get free estate upgrades.
Awesome. So you've got all these things that you can do through recording knowledge. And as Oscar said, by recording it, it's stored, which it helps you when you get to that second round or second generation. You have something built up allowing you to do it. So, Okay, so that's a turn. You're going to take your player, put it somewhere, and do it. What's a round?
A round is a series of turns. Just keep placing your pieces and getting the stuff, spending the stuff. But each piece can do different things. So your servants and your spouse go to town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can put them on your estate, but you lose them. Your caretaker just goes to your estate, and you can go to either. You get special bonuses if you go to town.
Okay, so it's you have to make a decision of where these things are going. You start with yourself, your spouse, and then your creepy caretaker who can't go to town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally what they say. He's creepy. He weirds everybody out. He can't go to town, or she can't go to town. Again, you can decide. All right. Now, what about a round? How does a round work?
Each round is just a series of turns. You just keep placing your pieces until you don't have any more pieces. Then you pass. Everyone else goes until they don't have pieces. Then that's a round.
Okay, and then you punch on the iPad a button that says end round. And this is where a special event might happen, or it tells you some new setup information for the next round, right?
Yes. Okay. And then you get, you know, some money. Then you go to the next round and you do the exact same thing.
You got all your things and you go and you place your workers again. What about end of a generation? How's that different?
With the generation, when you end the generation, you lose most of your progress that generation. So you discard your experiments, storing only one. You discard most of your hand. You discard all your resources.
And again, unless you've stored your knowledge, all your knowledge is gone. You've forgotten everything.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you never wrote it down in your journal.
There you go. You should have written it down in your journal. You've got, you know, again, you start around with these three pieces, but you can go up to a total of these six pieces where you have two servants, your spouse, yourself, and two caretakers. But when you start a generation, you've only got the three unless you've done something that is going to give you them back at the beginning of the next generation. So it's this feeling where you just have all this stuff ripped away from you and you have to start over, which is really cool. And that's also where there's a whole bunch of events between generations because you're dead.
Yeah.
And what does your child have to do, Oscar?
He has to continue your legacy.
Exactly. Damn straight. You're going to follow and complete your father's work, right?
No.
Oh! Anyway, Oscar's going to complete my work eventually. So, complexity-wise, there's a lot of moving parts to this game. But in the end, if you've played a number of games, it's not that bad. If you follow the directions, follow the instructions, it's not going to be that complicated, right? So if the instructions are laid out very cleanly, you can follow through, and so it's not that bad. But again, there's a lot going on. If you're not familiar with complex games, this could feel like a lot the first time you sit down, especially when you pull out all the stuff. You're like, oh my God, what's going on here?
Yes.
We, at this point, have played a lot of games. It came pretty quickly to us. But if this is your first game, just give yourself the patience to get through it, and I think you will be just fine. What about family strife and frustration?
Well, honestly, it's very difficult to mess with each other. Because, I mean, the most you're going to be able to do is move the angry mob up on your opponent.
Yeah, so sometimes you might move the angry mob, which is frustrating. You might go to a space in town
that they want to go.
That they want to go to, which causes you to either not be able to go there or have to pay money to go there, which is frustrating.
Yeah.
But
that's it.
that's about it. Yeah, you know, you're watching each other's points, but overall, it's not real. It doesn't cause a lot of strife for each other. What do you think about for number of players, Oscar?
As we know, three works really well.
Yep. So, again, we always play with three players. That's our go-to. We've really played well with three.
Yeah. Four seems like it would work well. It would be a longer game, and this is already a pretty long game. So it would be a long game, but it should work pretty well. Two.
Yeah, two feels a little bit, a little light. It's probably not the best go-to. Yeah. I think it would be workable, but it would probably feel a little weak for it. But as I say, we play with three players. We have not played it two players. Maybe we're wrong. What about replayability?
It's very replayable. Each scenario has multiple endings. You're trying to get them all, but you're going to get the same ending twice. We've played this three times and two record endings because we played it once before the original app was created, so we don't have it stored.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, when we're at like five endings, we're going to start repeating endings.
Yeah. So there is definitely some repeatability to it, but it's not, there's a lot of variation to it. And frankly, even repeating endings isn't a bad thing. It's just a thing. You could start to know where you're driving the story towards, but that's okay. You've got it.
Don't know where you're driving the story.
You have a total of eight endings for each scenario. And we've only played the first scenario, but we've continued to play it. We're not ready to move on. We'll keep playing it. And then, you know, we figure by the time we've played through the second and third scenario, but we'll go back to the first one. We won't remember what's going on.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of replayability. This is a new game, just came out a couple months ago, and the app just came working at the beginning of July, so this is definitely a new game. Hopefully there will be some more scenarios. That seems like a real easy thing to add on, and so hopefully we'll see that added in the future. But lots of replayability with this game. We've really enjoyed it. Storage and protection. It comes with game trays, which if you don't know what they are, they're fantastic. This is very well designed. It fits sleeved cards. It is well set up for storage. Oscar was, in fact, the other day, as he was putting it away, just impressed that the box actually fit together nicely.
Yeah, a lot of games, once you sleeve the components, just won't fit together nicely. This thing fits perfect.
Yeah, they did a wonderful job. This is just a top-notch game when it comes to components and storage. It's a little more expensive than some other games, but it is, in our opinion, well worth it because it is just, it feels very premium at every way you look at it. All right, Oscar, in the end, should people play My Father's Work?
Yes.
All right, yeah, we love this game. We're going to keep playing it. This is one of our hot games for this year. Thank you for joining us for a review of My Father's Work by Renegade Games. For more information about this game and other games we've reviewed on this podcast, please visit our website,
warwardfamilygames.com. That's warwardwithfamilygames.com.
Again, there you can find out about other episodes. And then, of course, please, please, please review us wherever you are listening to this podcast. Follow us so that you can get our newest episode every month. So, what should we play this weekend, Oscar?
My Father's Work.
All right, yeah, we're not done with this game. We're going back. We're going to keep playing this game, and we'll find a way to come up with something new to review for you next month. But until then, I'm your host, Justin.
I'm your host, Oscar. Bye.